Let's get this out of the way first thing. Today is Tuesday, August the 25th. This is the Fantasy Football Today podcast.
Sure is.
I forgot to say the date on yesterday's podcast. Can you believe
we did
an entire podcast without telling people the date? How would they know what the date is?
You want to know why there was craziness in the stock market? It's because of that.
It's
your fault for not saying what day it was.
Actually, people use us as a calendar.
People use us as a calendar. Well, I'm Heath Cummings. Dave Richard here with me. Jamie Eisenberg. Adam Azer still gone.
Where is he?
Delaware.
I wasn't going to tell everybody where he was.
Well, he's on his way back by now.
I'm not sure. Yep, but you would think he probably is.
Do you think he was at HQ for Cheapy's Pizza Worldwide?
I do not. I think he was enjoying a nice extended weekend.
I'm going to say he was at Cheapy's Pizza Worldwide discussing new commercial
plans. Well, I mean,
plans.
People could look up on their website to see where the headquarters is, and then we'd know if that's where he was.
There's a Twitter account now for Cheapy's.
Is there?
Ah. Amazingly enough. At Cheapy's Pizza.
He's a trendsetter.
Oh, well, I mean, that's what he does.
We already knew that. Enough about him.
First Cheapy's, now Delaware.
Who
knows what's next?
Let's talk about last night. We had football again last night. We're getting close to having football every night of the week.
Mm.
Yes. And it went so well for one offense and so bad for the other one.
Yeah.
So nighttime.
Andy Dalton just can't play in primetime, right, Jamie?
He's like my daughter. He's scared of the dark.
It's a good way to put it. A.J. Green drops passes at night. Guys don't make tackles for the Bengals at night. I mean, that team is not a primetime performer.
Have we looked up when the Bengals play in primetime to make sure that we don't pair Andy Dalton with a quarterback that has a bye that week?
You know, we could just get around that by not drafting Andy Dalton.
I still believe in Andy Dalton during the day.
All right.
I don't think you should draft Andy Dalton, but I will say Andy Dalton's going to be a top 15 fantasy quarterback by the end of the season.
Just not at night.
No.
Yeah, no, he will.
He's not.
Well,
he's
the last time he had a healthy A.J. Green, he was the fifth best quarterback in fantasy football.
Yes, and he was also annoying. He was terrible to own. He had so many bad weeks.
As I said, you don't have to own him, but he's still going to play
well. There is somebody that could influence whether Andy Dalton's a top 15 fantasy quarterback. And he looked much better last night. That's Jameis Winston.
Mm. How does that influence?
Well, if he finishes in the top 15, that's one less spot for Andy Dalton.
So
I'm just saying,
by that argument, Brian Hoyer could also influence it, and
no.
So could Josh McCown.
Not true.
And Carson Palmer.
Maybe.
Phillip Rivers.
Yes.
Tom Brady.
Yes.
Dan Fouts.
People that, like, Peyton Manning's probably not going to influence it unless his neck falls off.
That would hurt.
How did your neck fall off? I'm imagining like a Jenga puzzle that like falls and collapses, but like the head also collapses on top.
You hear about people's heads falling off.
Yeah, but not the neck too, right?
Well, it would just be at the shoulders instead of at the neck.
This is weird.
Okay, well.
What's today's date?
Today is Tuesday, August 25th. We're doing a mailbag.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing an auction review. We got some excellent emails and tweets to read. I think, though, we should start with the auction review.
Sure.
And
we don't want to talk about the Bucks and Doug Martin, how he looked good. And
we're going to talk a lot about Doug Martin today, I have a feeling.
Okay.
Because when I look through the auction review, we're going to talk about Doug Martin in the auction review. And we've got at least one email and at least one tweet about Doug Martin and
I
how
see.
He looked last night.
Look at you. This is foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing, yes. You started
nice.
It, though.
I did. So and maybe I'm the foreshadower.
Doug Martin, I think the headline on CBS Sports said, Doug Martin breaks all the tackles.
Look like it.
And he did break some tackles last night, and I've been banging that drum. I'll bang it some more later in the show. Real quick, maybe 2 minutes, just so people kind of know where we were coming from yesterday in the auction, Dave.
Yeah.
Your general auction strategy.
My general auction strategy varies from what I ended up doing in
okay.
All right. Normally what I like to do is put players in tiers, and you know that I post tiers on the mm-hmm. website, and when I see that a tier is running low, I get in and start the bidding on the players. Then keeping my ears open in case there is a bargain along the way, of course, I will take the first player in a tier if I feel like the price is right. What happens to me every single time we do these auctions in the offices, I'm also the auctioneer
right.
and the accountant, so
yes.
I've got to keep track of everybody's funds, and it's a lot of work. And so what ends up happening to me is I just kind of keep an ear out for when there's a player that I like or there's a player going at a bargain price mm-hmm. and I bid. Seems simple enough. That's not a bad strategy either. You just have to pay attention all the time. And you almost have to eschew any strategy of, you know, I've got to get this type of quarterback, that type of quarterback. But as my team built, as I built my team, rather, I realized what I needed to do at quarterback and at tight end to have a full, complete, successful roster.
Now, this only applies during live auctions. I think a majority of people, I mean, it's so hard to get live leagues together anymore. I think a majority of people do their auctions on the computers now. But if you're doing a live auction, is it worth it to invite a friend that's not in the league, pay them in refreshments, and have them be the auctioneer?
Yes, 100%. Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I think so, too. Jamie, real quick, your auction strategy, at least for this auction.
Yeah, I did the same thing that I did last year. We spent a lot more time talking about it last year, so just briefly, I waited again until we were two turns through nominating players to go after somebody. I did nominate a kicker. I got a kicker with my first time through, and I nominated DST second time through. I didn't get the DST that I wanted, but I waited until there were at least 20 or so, because there was a couple other kickers and defenses nominated, 20 or so players of skill position players and quarterbacks that were, you know, nominated before I went after somebody. And I love the way my team came out, except for one position, and I should have spent more money doing it. I had the most money. I don't know how I'm going to phrase this the right way, but I was the high man at the end, and then I was the first one out because I just spent my last remaining dollars on the two guys that I wanted. But I followed my strategy to a T. I got one running back that I really wanted to get, which was one of my top five guys. In this case, it was C.J. Anderson. And I was hoping to get T.Y. Hilton and somebody of Alshon Jeffrey, Mike Evans, or DeAndre Hopkins. I got Hilton. I did not get the second guy. If I had gotten the second guy, I love my team to a T.
Right.
But I did not get that second receiver.
This was interesting because I talked about a couple shows ago how I nominated Adrian Peterson first, and I tried to go through and nominate all the first-round picks that I could to spend everybody's money, at least the guys I didn't want.
Yep.
But then I found myself about 30 or 45 minutes into the auction just trying to find the guy in the rankings that Jamie liked the best and nominate them so we could spend Jamie's money. Because you had all the money left, and I didn't like that.
Right.
My strategy basically was I saw Adrian Peterson go for $35, so I said I'd really like to get one of those elite running backs for less money than that. And there was only one of them that went for less money than that, and I got him. It was Jamaal Charles for $32.
Right.
And then I saw Antonio Brown go for $28, and I thought, well, I want to get one of those elite wide receivers for less than that. Ended up getting Julio for $23, which was about the going rate for that range of wide receivers. Odell Beckham went for $23, A.J. Green went for $22, Calvin Johnson went for $22, Demaryius went for $24.
Yep.
So all those guys kind of went that range. And then I just planned on I was probably going to wait unless Travis Kelce's name was called, and then I'd make a fool of myself and get a bunch of $2 guys later in the draft.
Yeah, the one thing that I went in planning to get Tyler Eifert, and for whatever reason, I got trigger happy and bid on Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
So that was like one specific player that I was planning on getting. And the one player that I regret, because it was a dollar more, was LeGarrette Blount for $4, and I spent $3 on David Cobb. And I had the money to get, I could have got both of them, and I regret not bidding on Blount.
Do you remember who was nominated first? Blount was nominated first.
No.
Cobb was nominated.
I've got it here.
I think Cobb was.
Cobb was right before.
Cobb was right before Blount.
And I think it was that I just bought Cobb for $3.
Right, and then Blount went for $3 right after.
Okay, so I've got most of the. We're going to go position by position, and the way I kind of wanted to do it was go with players that were in the same dollar range, and we can kind of debate which of the players we like the best from that grouping. And that way, if people don't play in auctions, they can at least get something out of this. But first, we'll go with the highest priced players at each position. Andrew Luck went for $22. Aaron Rodgers went for $20. And then basically we saw top five quarterbacks going for $5 or less. So there was a huge
There were a couple other ones that went for more.
Yes.
But between 5 and 10. Like Peyton was $10.
Right.
And Drew Brees was the third highest.
Yeah. Eddie Lacy, the top priced running back, $39. Le'Veon Bell went for $38.
Crazy when you get Peterson for less.
Yeah.
And Charles for less.
Yeah, I got Charles for 80% of Eddie Lacy's.
Does it make sense to bid on the first person nominated? Like, is this an argument that whoever that first person is, get in on them because the market isn't set yet and you might end up getting a steal?
Anderson is my fifth ranked running back. That's the guy I got, I think, on for $25. I was thrilled with that.
Yeah.
And I made a concerted effort to get Ronnie Hillman, who's the handcuff
right
now, if anybody's paying attention.
And you didn't have to try that hard.
I got him for a dollar. And I'll tell you what, and I know Heath, you had mentioned about trying to get me to buy guys that I like. So you did that with Jonathan Stewart, and I didn't want to spend the money on Stewart, which in hindsight maybe I should have. But I did go with the thought before Stewart was nominated to try to get Cameron Artis Payne for a dollar.
Yeah.
So I was actually thinking handcuff first before the guy, before the starter.
Right.
And the reason I didn't do it was I didn't want to tip my cap, and I thought maybe tip my hand, thinking that I could still get Stewart maybe a little bit cheaper.
Right.
Before you decided to ruin my team.
Well, Scott White kind of decided in this draft that he wanted all the $14 and $15 running backs, and nobody else could have any of them.
Yeah. He had an interesting strategy. We should talk about that.
I think we will get to that. Let's first look at the quarterbacks, and these are the cheap quarterbacks that I was talking about. And I think one of these things is not like the other, but you guys will correct me, maybe. Drew Brees, $5. Russell Wilson, $5. Eli Manning, $5. Matt Ryan, $4. And Tony Romo, $3.
Yeah, it's great.
A lot of it has to do with the nomination order. Right. Eli was the first one nominated from that group. He was the 20th nominated player.
Right.
And he went for $5.
And I bet I could have gotten Roethlisberger in this range, too.
Yeah.
I just wasted my money at the end. What did I get for $8?
$8.
Right. Yeah. Right. He probably would have been closer to $5. Right.
Yes. I think it's a really good illustration, though, that if you're not going to pay up for Luck or Rodgers, and I really don't think you should if they're four times as much as Drew Brees, just wait forever on quarterback.
That's what I did.
This is the novice auction player that does that.
Yes. Yes. Because, I mean, I mentioned those guys, and they're all great values, but Matt Stafford went for two, Ryan Tannehill for three, Sam Bradford for two.
Right.
I mean, you can get all the starting quarterbacks you want for $2 or $3.
Right, because everybody's burning their money on running backs and receivers.
Uh-huh.
And then you just sit back and wait, and when you see $4 for a quarterback, somebody's either going to say, well, I'll wait for the next $4 guy,
mm-hmm.
or I've already spent X amount of dollars on this particular other, you know, high-priced quarterback. The thing I think that is interesting is last year, it's not going to look like that on the site because we fudged the numbers a little bit because we didn't want to make it look like what it was. Andrew Luck went for $1 in our auction, and he was the best quarterback in fantasy.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to see odd things like that in an auction,
right.
specifically at quarterback and tight end because of the top end players being as, you know, well thought of as they actually are.
Now, Dave, when I looked at these mid-range running backs, I thought one guy stood out as a major value over the others. He's the most expensive guy. It's Lamar Miller at $17. Joseph Randle went for $16. Alfred Morris for $15. And then Mark Ingram and Jonathan Stewart for $14.
Mm-hmm. I see Stewart went for $13.
Okay.
So whichever it was, $13, $14, doesn't really matter. Yeah, I mean, it's, again, Ingram went ahead of all these guys. He was the 19th nominated player.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up being quite a discount going for $14. So I think it really – I think we've kind of learned that of the first 20 players nominated, how many of them were the most expensive at their position? You've got two with Eddie Lacy and Le'Veon Bell. You have two with Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers. And then at wide receiver, Antonio Brown was fourth nominated, highest price at 28. But then you got some bargains in there, too. You've got A.J. Green for $22, Randall Cobb for $21.
I don't know if those are bargains. I think that's where their value is.
Yeah, maybe. But at the same time, it's not what they were paying for the other players at the position.
But that's why they're ranked differently, though. I mean, Antonio Brown should go for more than A.J. Green, whether it's significantly more or moderately more. I think the thing that you should do when you approach an auction is take a rank list out, do what Dave does, make tiers, however you want to do it,
mm-hmm.
and then turn it upside down. Because that's the way you should nominate the guys. Because let somebody else spend on the cheaper, on the guys that shouldn't go for as much money. Maybe that drives up their price more, or you get them for $1.
Mm-hmm.
Start that way.
Yeah.
Because most people are going to go top down. Antonio Brown's the number one receiver. Okay, throw his name out there.
Now, you mentioned Randall Cobb, $21. Basically, $1 cheaper than A.J. Green, a couple dollars cheaper than Julio Jones. That's a little bit of inflation in his value already because of the Jordy Nelson news, right?
No, he was in that range anyway.
I think he was pretty much in that range.
I think
maybe
I had him
$1 less.
I think I had him at $19 before the Nelson injury, and I bumped him up $1 or $2.
Okay.
You know, so he was already the 9th best receiver. Now he's the 8th best receiver.
Some cheaper running backs, value picks in the $5 to $6 range. Trey Mason, $5.
Too much.
Chris Ivory, $6.
That was me, but I was spending to get him.
CJ Spiller, $6.
A little too much.
Arian Foster, $6.
Could be great.
Yeah.
And Doug Martin, $6.
About right.
About right.
See, I felt like, and of course, I've been talking a lot about Martin. I feel like that's a pretty good value for him. $1 more than Trey Mason, the same price as Chris Ivory and CJ Spiller.
more importantly, it's just 6% of the budget.
Ivory and Martin, to me, are two very similar type of guys because nobody wants them unless you're targeting them. You know, it's almost like there's going to be two or three owners that say, I want those guys in the spots. I could either pay for them or draft them, as opposed to the most people who have the negative connotation of a Jets player, a Bucks player, and then what Doug Martin has done to you the last couple of seasons.
See, exactly. I think Martin's more polarizing. I think there's some people that have watched him in the preseason and they want to wait on running back, and they look at Doug Martin and they think that he's the perfect running back for them to draft. I don't think anybody feels good about drafting Chris Ivory. I like him. I like him in round 7. I like him for $6 in an auction. I might like him for $5 in an auction if I'm splitting hairs. Yeah. But I don't think people feel the same way about Ivory as they do Martin. I think there's more people that like Martin.
Because you've seen him do top 5 potential before.
Yeah, but it was 3 years ago.
Doesn't matter. People have been playing a lot longer than that.
Okay, rookie running backs.
That's the reason why Adrian Peterson goes number 1 overall.
I wonder if the rookie running – I feel like their values got inflated just a little bit. And I wonder if it's because they know average draft position-wise, well, I'm not going to take Melvin Gordon in the second because he's supposed to go in the third. But then when it comes to an auction, people aren't quite as comfortable with values, and so they maybe pay up a little bit more. Melvin Gordon goes for $15. Amir Abdullah is the second highest priced rookie at $10. Then TJ Yeldon at 8, Todd Gurley at 5, David Cobb at 3, and then David and Duke Johnson both at 3.
I felt I had to buy Abdullah just because of the auction being what it was.
Right.
And you had the money.
And I had the money to do it. So I wasn't intending on Amir Abdullah. Obviously, that's become the poster child for my fantasy teams.
That's your thing.
The guys that are going around Abdullah's range, you know, you can make an argument, and I would agree that Martin and Ivory at $4 less is better value. Right. Than what Abdullah is at 10. Mm-hmm. If Abdullah should probably be no higher than $8 if you're buying in all the way. If you're partially buying in, it's a $6 buy.
See, I think if you're buying in all the way, you can spend $10 and get away.
I don't have a problem with that, but I still think, though, you know, and this is coming from, you know, again, the champion
president of the
AA
fan club,
that Joik Bell is still going to play a significant role here. You know, you can't overlook that if he's healthy. You know, if he's not healthy, then clearly Amir Abdullah is worth $15. You know, he's in the Lamar Miller range if he's going to be the only guy there. But he's not. And, you know, Joik Bell's still going to be a significant contributor to this. So if I didn't have the money that I had to spend, I would have capped myself at $8.
Speaking of Joik Bell, I believe this is the first time in a real league this year I've got him on my team. I got him for $2.
Mm-hmm. That was a great buy. And it's one of the ones that I regret not doing when he was nominated.
Dave, of the $3 rookie running backs, David Cobb, David Johnson, and Duke Johnson, which one?
What do you think? Now, for the record, I actually don't have any of these guys on my team. But, you know, I love Duke, and I think he's going to have a solid year. I still don't believe in the other Browns running backs, and I can't wait to see Duke in person on Saturday. David Johnson, though, is not far behind.
Yeah,
I think David Johnson could play a significant role for Arizona. Cobb, I'm losing it for. I'm not feeling him like I was before.
Okay. He'll score the most touchdowns of this group. He may not have most yards. Yeah.
I'm not sure he'll even do that.
I think he'll easily do that.
No.
Those other two guys aren't going to get a lot of touchdowns.
If he does it might be because of, like, he scored 3 touchdowns.
But the other guys couldn't
do it. I'll take the over.
Duke's going to score from 40 yards out, right?
He'll score a couple times.
No, 120 yards out. He scores from the locker room.
But David Johnson can score a bunch, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he's their most physical inside-type running back in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me if he had 5-6 touchdowns this year.
Let's move on to the mid-range wide receivers. And I feel like I like the value of the two at the bottom of the list the most out of all 5. T.Y. Hilton, $18. Alshon Jeffrey, $18. Brandon Cook, $17. Mike Evans, $15. And Jordan Matthews, $14.
What'd you call these guys? The mid?
Mid-range.
Mid-range? See, I still think they qualify as...
These are all top 12 guys.
Right. Yeah, I think I don't know if I want to call these guys mid-range. Maybe their prices are.
Okay.
They're not $20 guys, but they're not $10 guys.
This is the tier 2 receivers.
Tier 2 receivers. We'll call them tier 2 receivers.
Yeah, I mean, look, clearly it's a situation where if you can get Matthews and Evans cheaper than Hilton and Jeffrey, and I said those are the two guys I was actually targeting, and I ended up with Hilton. I just think it's great, you know. Evans and Hilton at least if they both play 16 games to their potential, they should be close in production. So the cheaper guy wins out.
Dave, you got Cooks at $17. It looks like he was the 5th or 6th receiver nominated.
Something like that. He was 26th overall.
did you still feel good about him at 17 after Evans and Matthews went off the board at that price?
You know, Matthews to me is just a hair behind Cooks, so yeah. I didn't feel good about that. I probably spent a little too much on Brandon Cooks, but I wanted to have like at least one top 15 receiver. Mm-hmm. And really what I wanted was a top 12 receiver. By default in my rankings, Cooks is a top 12 receiver. Okay. I don't know if I really want to put him in that same class.
Right.
But I think he's got the potential to finish as a top 12 receiver. I'm just not – I don't recommend looking at him through that scope.
Okay.
He's not – I mean, he's top 15.
He's definitely top 15. Yeah. I paid a lot for a top 15 receiver. But if I get in the bidding on Matthews, am I getting him for 15 or 16? Probably. Right. Is he going to be my top receiver then? Yes. Would I rather have Cooks for a buck more? Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I go the other way. I'd rather have Matthews, but it's splitting hairs.
Okay. And then a lower tier of wide receivers here. I'm surprised by the guy that went for the most, I think. Martavis Bryant, $7. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Sanders for $6. Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson, and Jarvis Landry all for $5.
Yeah, I think I have Robinson, if I'm not mistaken.
And Aguilar's in that mix too, isn't
yep.
it?
I took Aguilar
yes.
too.
Yeah.
See, this was kind of when I missed on Jeffrey, I was like, I want to get as many of my top 25 receivers as I can possibly get. 26, right. I took Charles Johnson also. So I ended up with Hilton. I love the group. I just wish that these were bench guys for me or potential flex options.
Right.
But I have Robinson. I have Aguilar. I have Charles Johnson. And then T.Y. Hilton. So it doesn't look good when you're, you know, looking at a roster from afar if you're not knowing what these guys can potentially do.
Right.
But if you know what these guys can potentially do, all of them have great potential. Even the guys you listed here. I mean, you know, there's just a ton of upside there where Bryant could easily be a top 10 guy. You know, he could also be a top 40 guy. You know, there's a lot of boom or bust with him.
Where are we at, not considering average draft position or anything else, on Jarvis Landry versus Keenan Allen versus Allen Robinson?
I think Landry's better because he's basically the same thing with Keenan Allen was 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's going to be 80 plus catches, 1,000 yards, and 6 or 7 touchdowns.
They're all in that same range.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all in that same range.
In a PPR league, you'd rather have Landry than Bryant, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about the rookie wide receivers, and there aren't as many good ones. Amari Cooper went for $10.
Mm-hmm.
Then we talked about Nelson Aguilar, $6. Funchess and Perryman went for $2 apiece, and Devontae Parker went for $1.
That was a great buy.
Yeah, Parker was great.
Yeah.
You don't like you like the values on any of the other rookies?
I go back and forth with Cooper at 10. I think I'm okay with it, but it's close. I've got him in my rankings for $9, so it's right there.
When Mike Friedman, one of our producers here, made the bid to get him at 10,
mm-hmm.
I said too high. I was sitting next to him. I said too high, and you know, then when he got him, great buy. You know, that was awesome. But I was hoping for his sake that somebody else would have
bid 11.
Spent on it just because I thought 10 was too much for him. But yeah, it seemed a little too expensive, and it was early.
Yeah. I think, Dave, when I bid $2 on Devin Funchess, you audibly groaned at me.
I did?
I believe you did.
Was it because of your bid, or was it because I was exhausted from all the
It was either because of my bid, or it was because I waited until the going twice to bid $2
That's
for him.
Why. Because you were making me work more.
Yeah.
You jerk. Now, I don't have a problem spending $2 on pretty much anybody.
Anybody.
I'll tell you what, though.
It's a teeny tiny part of your budget.
I was thrilled when I nominated two DSTs back-to-back, and they both went for $2. I was like, okay.
I got one of them. I took the Dolphins.
Somebody else to spend another dollar on that. Let's go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be worth it with the Dolphins. So I didn't mind paying $2 for them.
I was trying to find somebody now on short notice for $2 that maybe you wouldn't feel good about, but I don't think I probably can.
Brandon LaFell?
But he's on my team, too.
Terrence Williams?
D'Angelo Williams?
If you've got Le'Veon Bell and you want to lock that up, I can see it.
And he did.
Personally, I don't think it's worth it.
He did. Okay, let's.
I mean, there's some $2 guys that were amazing in this draft.
I've been putting this position off for as long as possible because the deserved ridicule, is coming.
All right, hold on a second. I know you're going with tight end and with your boy, right?
Yes.
I'll take it from here. So we're in the draft, and it's in this big room in our office. And to this point, the only tight end that had been nominated was Gronkowski.
Uh-huh.
And he went for $23.
Right.
And then somebody nominated, 30th nomination off the board, Joe Polito, our social media ambassador, nominated Travis Kelce. And it went like this. $1, $2, $3.
I don't even think it got that far.
$12.
I don't even think it got that far.
That's what it felt like.
I think it was just Travis Kelce, $1, $2, $12.
It was like that.
Yeah.
And the 12 came from our guy, Heath.
Yes.
Who's a big Kansas City fan. Loves him some Chiefs.
But it's not.
Loves him some Travis Kelce.
Okay. I think there's some clarification that's needed.
Well, wait, before you go. Okay. If you just know, if somebody stopped listening right now.
Uh-huh.
Gronk for 23, Kelce for $11 less. Kelsey's going to close the gap. He's not going to get to Gronk, but he's going to close the gap.
Right.
I'm a Kelce guy. You're a Kelce guy. You're a Kelce guy. Maybe not to the extreme that we are, but you're a Kelce guy. Dave, I think he's going to close the gap. So $10 or $11 difference makes sense just on that alone. Mm-hmm. Now go.
Things didn't go well after. And really, I'm not such a Chiefs homer that like I pick every Chiefs player in every draft. I rarely end up with any Chiefs
besides
Kelce.
Yeah, just Charles and Kelce in this auction.
Didn't
That's
you
right.
pay $5 for DeAnthony Thomas?
No. And I got Charles for 32, which I think was the best value of the top five running backs, in my opinion.
I'll take Anderson, but sure, go ahead.
Okay.
For a dollar more, you could have had Latavius Murray or
the next
Jonathan
nominated
Stewart.
Tight end, well, was Zach Ertz. Yeah, whatever.
$2 for me.
Jimmy Graham, and he went for $16. And I still
it's better value. Kelsey's better value.
I wasn't feeling that bad about Kelce at 12. I was thinking, okay, maybe everybody laughed at me, and nobody bid after I bid 12. And
then
I
what happened?
I can't believe that you guys didn't bid 13, really.
On Kelce?
You know that I would have bid 14.
We know how many tight ends there are out there.
Okay.
I think this was what number? 30th player?
30th. Yeah.
Okay, so I was.
You were in
your. I was in play.
Oh yeah, you had lots of money left.
No. But I mean, I was.
You were purposely sitting out.
Oh, yes. First 24.
Right.
Okay.
Well, first 24. This is the 30th.
That's what I'm saying. I said I was in play.
Oh, right. I see.
Yeah.
So even if we had nominated a player that you really loved in the first 24,
wouldn't have done it.
And even if he went for a price that you were shocked, you wouldn't have changed it.
Nope.
I don't like that. I want to keep my options open.
See, I think we saw that.
Oh, I mean, I'm not
if
saying.
If Amir Abdullah is going once, going twice at $3, you're not jumping in?
Yeah, I guess I should retract that. Yes, clearly, if there was something at that scenario, I would have. But I wanted to let these overpriced guys go off the board because I know the way people nominate.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel when Greg Olsen went for $6?
I felt
that's when you vomited.
Like a schmuck.
And what did I get Bennett for? $5?
You got Martellus for
$4.
The $2 tight ends were Ertz and Thomas. I paid for Ertz.
Jordan Cameron went for $1.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. That's and good. Eifert was a guy, like I said, he went for $1.
Yeah, pretty much every other tight end that you've heard of went for $1.
Right.
Yes. And some maybe that you haven't. But Travis Kelce went for $12, and that was my biggest mistake of the auction.
What do you think you would have gotten him for if you just would have said 4 instead of 12? Do you think you got him for 10?
I was thinking 9.
Nine.
But it was still early, and Jimmy Graham hadn't gone yet.
I'll tell you what, if you would have said 9, I might have said 10. But when you went 12, I was like,
And then he would have gone 11, so he would have saved maybe $1. You wouldn't have gone 12, Jamie.
No. I actually purposely stopped at my number. What I have in my auction values, mm-hmm. when it got to that number, I stopped. It was the first time I ever done that.
And what was then your auction value for Kelce, 9?
I don't remember off the top of my head. It may have been 10 or 11.
I'll look it up. It's – take a guess, Jamie.
I'll say 10.
I guess 9.
It is 9.
Okay.
So you wouldn't have bid 10.
No. Like that's when.
So you probably could have had him for $9.
That's when I stopped with Jeffrey, was because he got to 17.
Although we were at a point right then where Matthew Coca was price enforcing basically every player that I bid on as a joke. And that's how he ended up with DeMarco Murray for the same price that you got C.J. Anderson for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he ended up paying $20 for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, he was one of the early guys. Read his team. What's his team?
He's got DeMarco Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Dez Bryant. That's a good start.
It's a great start. But he sunk $72 into those three players.
Mm-hmm. Rams defense, Devontae Adams. Looks like Ryan Matthews is his running back, too.
Interesting. Yep. So he's got both Eagles guys. Which
I've,
be good.
I've got it by position if you want me to read it by position, Heath.
Yeah, sure.
Quarterbacks are Aaron Rodgers and Matt Ryan
Stacked.
For a combined $24. I don't know why he's bidding on Matt Ryan when he's got Aaron Rodgers, but
he said
his
at the
choice.
Time when he bought it, he said trade bait. As you recall, 2 years ago for your team when RG3 or 3 years ago
when
RG3 was awesome, you could not trade RG3
for
a penny.
I couldn't trade him for anything.
Right.
His running backs are DeMarco Murray, Ryan Matthews, Shane Vereen, and Jay Ajayi. So he's got some work to do there.
Yeah.
His wide receivers, Dez Bryant, Devontae Adams.
That's good.
Terrence Williams, Devontae Parker, and Tavon Austin.
Okay, so he's got two good guys.
I think he's got three good guys.
If Parker's healthy, sure.
Yeah. Tight end, he's got Rudolph and Fleener. He's got Hoshka as his kicker and the Rams DST.
Okay, so he's got three high scorers.
He could have saved money. He could have saved money by not getting Matt Ryan and just picked up a dollar quarterback later to trade.
Right.
Had $3 extra, and then instead of having Jay Ajayi, he could have had one of the $4.
So there's a guy that spent big early. Tell us what Scott did.
Scott White went off the rails, and he was saying, this is my strategy, this is my strategy, this is my strategy, and you can read it by position in a minute. I want to go with the first five players that he won, though.
Okay.
The first five players that Scott White won, he won Mark Ingram for $14.
Mm-hmm. Great buy.
Matt Forte for $27. It's a good buy.
Yeah.
It's an okay buy. Alf for $15. I don't think that was a good buy, especially if you've already spent $41 at running back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Arian Foster at $6 could be a great buy.
If you throw away Alf, I love it so far.
Right, because then you've got the $15 left on.
How about if you have those four guys and the next guy you win is Jonathan Stewart at $14?
I hate this. you're ruining your roster.
So who does he have at the other positions, Dave?
And just keep in mind, we can only play three of these guys.
Right.
So Romo is the starting quarterback, $3. Great. Joe Flacco is the backup for $1. Again, I don't see the point. You read off the running backs. In addition to those fabulous five, he's got Alfred Blue for $3. So he locked up the Texans for $9.
Again, he could have got rid of Morris and Stewart.
Right.
Put that money toward receiver.
Cameron Artis Payne he got for $1 to lock up Jay Stu. So he's got the Panthers for $15.
That's $7.
He has two wide receivers. Martavis Bryant and Keenan Allen. Actually, scratch that. He's got three. He also has Roddy White. His tight end is Tyler Eifert.
So he has two wide receivers.
His tight end is Tyler Eifert, and his kicker is Cody Parkey, and his defense is the Patriots.
So he's got three receivers with five elbows.
Right.
Give me some of the receivers that went for $15.
Oh, there were plenty of good ones.
Just give me a handful.
How about Jordan Matthews?
Matthews went for $14.
I mean, my God. That makes that team. If you tell me his receivers are Matthews, Bryant, and who is Keenan Allen instead of Alfred Morris, that's the best team in this auction.
How about Mike Evans for $15?
That's, again, best team in this auction. If he just does the exact – that one move right there.
Yeah.
One move. Because, look, we'll tell you till we're blue in the face, get as many stud running backs as you possibly can. Don't sacrifice the rest of your key positions.
Now, Scott's answer to this, because I talked to him about it today, and he's writing a blog post on it. And he says –
How I ruined my auction?
Nope. That's not it. He says, this is the exact strategy I used last year, and I won the league.
Nice.
I mean, look, Bryant and Allen are good. Don't get me wrong.
How many trades did he make last year, though?
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I don't know if he made many.
You know what the worst part about this is? Can you imagine week one or week two, the start-sit dilemma?
Yeah.
When you've got Alf, Mark Ingram, Jonathan Stewart all on your team.
Well, I mean,
You're starting Forte.
Well,
so, I would think so.
And if he did the right thing. He handcuffed Stewart, who's injury prone, and he's got Foster. Look, if Foster comes back, and you know, then he just cuts Alfred Blue. But
right, we should mention that there was a report from John McClain of the Houston Chronicle.
No, Aaron Wilson of the Houston Chronicle.
I saw McClain's too.
Okay,
but same paper, same source. 4 to 6 games that Foster might end up.
There's a thought that he could be back the end of September, which would be amazing.
Right.
And so,
and the more you hear about him not going on short-term IR, the more likely it is that you'll see him go.
Change your tune yet?
Round 7. Yeah, I think you have to. I'm still not drafting him in round 6, though.
I think if you just take that one move, this is the best team in the auction.
Okay.
And it doesn't hurt his running back depth at all.
Let's real quick talk about our own teams in the auction, because one of them might be even better, and you just haven't heard my full roster yet, is what the problem might be.
Sure. Did you spend too much on a tight end?
Let's not talk about that, Dave. Let's talk about your team first.
Okay.
And since you have the master roster generator.
Sure. So what happened in my auction is I bid $28 on Jeremy Hill. At the time, I thought that that was a good price. A little while later, I got Marshawn Lynch for $29. Love having these two guys as my top two running backs. I back them both up. I've got Gio for $4.
You can actually, based on average draft position, those two guys go
first round
one, round two. No, round one, round two, based on ADP.
Right. Well, I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
and obviously I'm happy with that. In my eyes, I think Hill's the first-round pick. I know his ADP isn't there.
Sure.
But I like both these guys and locking up two studs. And I'll tell you what, it took the pressure off of loading up on running backs, but I did it anyway because I was able to get their handcuffs so cheaply. Gio, I got for $4. I felt good about that. Robert Turbin, I got for $1. My other running backs, Andre Williams for $1, Matt Jones for $1, and that's it.
Yeah.
Wide receiver, Brandon Cooks for $17. Julian Edelman, I saw him out there. The bid was $2. I bid $3. I thought that was a decent price for a guy with 1,000-yard potential. I didn't want him to be my number two receiver, and he's not. I got Emmanuel Sanders for $6, and I don't think I overpaid.
No,
I feel good about that price for Emmanuel Sanders.
Sure.
Picked up Kendall Wright with my last dollar at the end of the auction.
Great buy, too.
My tight end is Zach Ertz for $2. That was pretty terrible. And my quarterbacks, because I spent so much on running backs and I got Brandon Cooks and I backed up my running backs, I knew I had to go cheap at quarterback. Didn't have enough money to bid on Matt Ryan, who went for, what, $4, $5?
$4.
When it was all said and done. I got Carson Palmer for $2 and Sam Bradford for $2. So I'm playing the matchups to start the season. And if Sam Bradford takes off, I've got trade bait. But I didn't pay so much for my trade bait.
My only question about that is I think your running backs and receivers are as good as anybody's.
Yeah.
Combined.
Combined, yes. Separately, obviously not.
Right.
Who would be your flex week one? Sanders or Edelman?
It'll probably be Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fine flex.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, unless Brady's out and that lowers him a little bit.
You spent $2 on Carson Palmer right before Stafford went for $2. Tannehill went after him for $3.
I wanted Palmer. You
You'd
know
rather
how I feel
have
about
Palmer over those guys, though?
No. I think if I'm drafting, I'm taking those guys ahead of him. But I knew that if I passed on Palmer for – I mean, his bid was at $1 before I bid.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that if I passed on him, then I would have to hope that I could get Stafford or Tannehill for $2.
Mm-hmm.
And they might end up going for $3.
Right.
So I got him. I got the quarterback when I could, and I bid $2 on Palmer. No one bid $3, thank God, and I got him on my team.
I think it's a good team.
It's very good.
I think it'll be a competitive team. I don't think it's the best team that was built in this draft, though. And it's certainly not the deepest.
You go ahead. I'm trying to remember mine.
You don't have – well,
I've got it right here.
He's got your roster. Oh,
sure.
Dave can read it off.
Jamie got Roethlisberger. He was the last player Jamie bid on. He had $8 left to bid, and he used it all on Roethlisberger when no one else could bid $8. So that's why Roethlisberger went for $8. Yes, you overpaid, Jamie. Bad boy. Running back, CJ
By the way, I've changed my rankings. Roethlisberger is now my third-ranked quarterback.
Is he really?
Yep.
Good for you. I can't do that. CJ Anderson is your RB1. Amir Abdullah for $10 is your second running back. Behind those two, you've got David Cobb for $3, Crowell for $2. Chris Ivory is your third running back, $6. Ronnie Hillman to back up CJ Anderson cost you $1. T.Y. Hilton is your top receiver at $18. Behind him, you've got Aguilar for $6, Allen Robinson for $5. Listen to this depth. John Brown for $4, Charles Johnson for $4. So you're probably going to be the first guy I come to if I need to make a trade for a receiver during the year because you've got so many guys.
Or Scott White.
That have great potential. Or Scott White certainly could be that guy. Martellus is your tight end. You paid $4 for him. Mason Crosby for $1. And your defense is?
No, I have Connor Barth as my kicker.
Oh, I'm sorry. Connor Barth is your kicker. Who's
for
your defense? The Jets for $1.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Barth and the Jets. Congratulations.
Yep. Yeah, I like I said, I want it. My intention going in was to try and get as many of those receivers as I could, but with two guys at the top that were a little bit better. So I didn't accomplish that goal. But I do like the receiver depth. I do think that Aguilar or Robinson or Johnson or Brown could be a top 24 receiver, if not all of them. So I just love the upside with that group. And then I think that I need Ivory to be what he's been in the preseason, and I need Abdullah to really be significant. I do like the option of having the upside of what Crowell and Cobb could be, but they're ifs by leaps and bounds.
You really think Ben's going to outproduce Breeze and Peyton? And I guess Breeze and Peyton.
Russell Wilson.
He was better than Breeze last year.
Yeah, he was. Those 2-6 touchdown games, man.
Yes.
They are going to – I don't know if he's going to be able to do that again.
Okay, so take out the best games for Breeze and take out the best games for Peyton.
I know, but I'm just saying without those 6 touchdown games for Roethlisberger, he didn't even average 20 points per week.
Okay, let's see what an auction roster looks
see
like
does this year.
If you overpay for your tight end. Because that's what I did. But I've got Jamaal Charles and Julio Jones.
Yeah, that's a good start.
That's a really good start. Yeah. It's hard to be bad with those
And
two.
Not only that, but I think there's no room to complain about your other running backs. Doug Martin for six, Joik for two could end up being fantastic.
Yep, absolutely.
Niall Davis to back up Jamaal Charles is another $2. Kyrie Robinson just to throw on your bench for $1 isn't bad. Julio for 23. DeAndre Hopkins is your number two receiver for $10. Your other receivers are Brandon LaFell, Devin Funchess. You paid $2 each for them. Julius Thomas is your backup tight end, $2. That might be trade bait for you. Travis Kelce, we all know what happened there. Matt Bryan is your kicker for $1. And the Bengals DST is yours.
Who's your quarterback? I didn't hear.
Stafford.
It's a great team.
I feel like it's gonna, like I said, it's hard to be a bad team with Jamaal Charles and Julio Jones.
And Kelce. And
yes.
Hopkins.
And Hopkins.
Right.
And hopefully Doug Martin is everything I ever dreamed he could be.
Well, the Bucks certainly hope so.
Let's get to the mailbag. Because that's what people really want to hear. Is not
They want to hear their names.
Us
on
talk
our podcast.
About them. Okay, so we'll start off with Nicholas Fox on Twitter. We're gonna go with tweets first. And we may
I know Nick.
We may finish with tweets. Better keeper value, Kelce for a 13th or Jordan Matthews for an 11th?
Man.
That's great.
I know
value.
Exactly what I think. I answered this question.
Okay. Well, then answer it now.
Jordan Matthews for an 11th.
Okay.
I think there's less risk, and if it's a keeper league, hopefully you can keep him at that price for several years to come. And Travis Kelce, still a good player, but I think Matthews has more upside.
As the guy that just overpaid for Travis Kelce, you know, it's kind of the same thing value-wise, because mm-hmm. Matthews went for $14. Mm-hmm. I paid $12 for Kelce, and I would rather have Jordan Matthews for an 11th.
I'd rather have Kelce in the 13th round.
Think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes no difference. 13th round, 11th round. Really? Well, that the
it,
extra two
it
rounds?
It makes a difference with position scarcity. And you could still find a receiver like Jordan Matthews. You may never find a tight end like Kelce.
Let's go with one.
He's the second coming of Gronkowski.
He might be.
Baby Gronk. That's what we call him in the Travis Kelce fan club over here.
How many people are in that fan club?
Two in this room.
I guess so. You call him Baby Gronk, too?
No, but I would not be surprised if he's the second-best tight end this year. I don't think Jordan Matthews becomes the second-best wide receiver.
Okay.
That's fair.
Sean McDonald.
Had a farm.
Topical. Is Doug Martin going to have a big year? After last night, it looks like it. Is he overreacting to preseason football, Jamie?
Yes. Don't all of a sudden take Doug Martin in the first four rounds. But it could start to creep into the round five range. I have no problem with that.
Neither do I.
Okay.
Think about where he's been taken the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. After his big rookie year, he was a first-round pick. I was talking about as a first-round pick. He got hurt, he totally flamed out. The year after that,
yeah.
Where was he going?
He was going in the third round.
Right.
Third round, yeah.
And then again, totally bombed out. This year, it's even later.
Yeah.
And we're hoping for it to click. We hope it'll happen.
Yeah.
If there's something to quell the fire here about Doug Martin, because he has looked good this preseason, I still think Charles Sims gets in there and takes some of those catches away.
That's
from
the
him.
Other guy that was on my roster that you didn't mention. I had Charles.
Oh, that's right.
I had Charles Sims for.
Remember when I
handcuffed him?
Yep.
So
smart.
Bob in California wants us to discuss. I think we should just call this the Dave Richards strategy, but the zero wide receiver strategy.
That's not something I would recommend.
I mean, no, you always draft wide receivers, but you are you love to stockpile running backs.
You sure yeah, but should get Scott in here to discuss it.
Scott?
Yeah, I mean, listen, look at what Scott White's team looks like with nothing at wide receiver.
It's not nothing,
but it's not ideal.
Did he happen to mention the receivers he had that wanted for him last year?
No, he didn't. I'm guessing that Odell Beckham was one of them.
Could have been.
I'm just going to guess that it was probably
Odell
Beckham.
Could have been Evans.
Or Mike Evans.
Right.
Yes.
I don't like the zero running back strategy. I don't like the zero wide receiver strategy. I always like to try and have my bases covered as best I can with starting wide receivers. And I want to get two of these.
Yeah.
If I need to start two wide receivers, I want to get two of the top 20 wide receivers in my rankings on my team.
Okay.
I don't want to have to mix and match with guys, you know, ranked 35th through 50th in my rankings all year long.
As your starters.
As my starters.
Right. What I try to do with my drafts is the same thing I try to do, the same thing I accomplished with this auction, is I try to get two guys in my top 12, top 15, and then two or three guys from basically what was my core of mm-hmm. Aguilar, Robinson, Brown, Johnson, that group of guys. I want to try and get two of them on top of two other ones. And
right.
then as my fifth receiver, if I go that route, Devontae Parker, Eddie Royal, Kendall Wright, Devin Funchess at this point, you know, somebody that's a potential home run in depending on your format.
Adam Gambrell. Mm-hmm. What can be expected of Jonas Gray the first 2 weeks? Is it possible he gets the lead back role at any point?
He would have to just have a lights out game against
his first
Pittsburgh.
Week. I don't know, 2 weeks.
Right.
First
well, week. Here's, like, if he's saying the first 2 weeks, because LeGarrette's back.
I think
in
he's
week two.
Thinking of Jonas Gray as a fill in for Le'Veon Bell. So what do I expect the first 2 weeks?
Gotcha. Nah, the first week he'll get opportunities, but the second that game becomes close or high scoring or competitive where the Patriots can't kill the clock, he's not going to get a lot of work. So there's a real chance he has like a 9 or 10 touch game against Pittsburgh in
if
week
you're,
one.
If you're drafting Jonas Gray at this point, you're praying Tom Brady's a starter.
Yeah.
Right.
Because Garoppolo's not going to help Jonas Gray. Brady will help Jonas Gray.
I do think the second question is a little more interesting. Is it possible he gets a lead back role at any point? He plays running back for the New England Patriots.
It's going to happen.
It is probably going to happen this year.
I mean, look, LeGarrette Blount's, you know, banged up in the preseason.
Yeah.
He's had injuries before in his career. The one thing that's in his favor that we haven't seen yet from him, I believe in 319 touches as a member of the Patriots, he's got 3 fumbles. Or that may be his last 319 touches overall, 3 fumbles. So he doesn't have a fumble problem. But that's with the deflated football. So we'll see what he does when football's
here. He just had an alarm clock problem.
Gray did.
Yes.
Not LeGarrette.
Oh, not LeGarrette. Okay.
LeGarrette had a different type of problem, and that's why he's not playing in week one.
Yes. Which is not a bad penalty, really. One game.
Yeah. Le'Veon Bell is jealous. LeGarrette, to me, is slightly better than Jonas Gray.
From a talent perspective.
From an opportunity perspective. Right. He's got a much better opportunity.
I don't want either one of them.
I don't either.
Okay, there is no nepotism on this show, just to be clear. Ben Cummins, Andrew Luck.
Is this your dad?
No.
Cousin.
My dad does not play fantasy football.
What kind of a dad do you have?
One that doesn't play fantasy football.
That's sad.
Yes.
Dave's dad is one of the best fantasy football owners you'll ever
come across. No, he's actually one of the worst. he played 1 year.
He's one of my favorites.
He's one of your favorites. Yeah. He called into our live show during the year to ask Jamie questions.
Yes.
Just to, like, mock me.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was the week where I was playing him. And then when he didn't make the playoffs, he dumped his whole team. He was so mad.
He dropped
everyone. So Jamal Charles is on waivers.
So he was kicked out of the league.
AJ Green. Yeah. Okay. My dad got kicked out of our family league.
Okay. That's fair.
He doesn't play fantasy anymore.
Ben's question. Andrew Luck in a 6-point per passing touchdown league, 12 teams. We talk a lot about waiting on quarterback. Where do you feel good about drafting Andrew Luck?
About 15th overall.
Maybe even later than that. I mean, our rankings are for 6-point passing touchdown leagues. So, to me, this doesn't really alter my view of Andrew Luck compared to a 4-point. I'm waiting. 15's not bad, but I'd rather like 18 to 20.
Here's the thing. If you say to yourself, okay, I'm picking 7th, which I think is right about his average draft position right now.
Okay.
I'm picking 7th, and I know that after I pick, Matt Forte is going to go, Jeremy Hill is going to go, DeMarco Murray is going to go, Gronk's going to go. And then 3 or 4 of the Super 7 receivers go. So I know if I wanted, let's just say, one of those receivers and Luck, but I don't think I may get Luck in the second round. You take Luck in round 1. I don't like it. You don't like it. You probably don't like it.
No.
But you know what your team's going to be.
Do you?
You know your team is going to be weaker at running back and wide receiver than it needs
to be. Well, not necessarily weaker at wide receiver, because A.J. Green could be the number one guy.
It'll be weaker at one or the other.
Right. But you also are guaranteeing yourself the guy that you want at that position. And so I understand why people do it. I don't like it because I think the drop-off between Luck and Breeze is not going to be that significant, whereas you can still get 2 other good players before you have to take Breeze, or 3.
Let's move on to emails.
Okay.
Those were some nice tweets.
Thank you.
Dear Joffrey.
I don't know why I said thank you.
Well, thank you for the list. You speak for the listeners. You're a man of the people.
That I like being.
Dear Joffrey, Scar, Jar Jar, and Heath. Doesn't sound like a compliment to me, does it?
Bad guys. You know who they are?
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Joffrey is the annoying, at one point, king, is now dead from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Scar, I believe, is from Lion King.
He's the evil uncle.
Right.
The Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks, we all know.
Okay. The greeting, there's a clue, at the bottom, 4 of the most hated individuals in pop culture.
Okay.
Oh, that's terrible.
Okay. Then there was a that was the PS. The PPS is just kidding, Heath. I think you're a great host.
Aww.
So it, this is from Michael Schlecht, Waukesha, Wisconsin, member of the
Waukesha
Podcast League, right?
Podcast League, right. Yes. He's got a draft tonight.
Okay.
10-team, high-scoring PPR league. He's getting a point per reception and a point per completion. 6 points, all touchdowns. He has a sixth pick. He wants to know what position he should take first overall. And he says 2 to 3 quarterbacks are going to go in the first round, but he doesn't want to do that, right?
I wouldn't.
I mean, point per completion is pretty legit.
Point per completion
yeah,
is a lot.
Yeah, but it's across the board, though.
A rising tide. What's the saying? Dang it. That was going to be good.
That's what I do. I'm the one that starts a quote and then fizzles out.
Well, I just stole your thunder.
Thank you. I think a rising tide is a stitch in nine.
Lifts all sails. Nope, that's not it. But you know what I mean. All quarterbacks just got a point for completion. Not
right, exactly.
Just Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers.
Right. It changes the rankings of quarterbacks for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I want quarterbacks with a high completion percentage, ones that are going to throw a lot.
More attempts.
Drew Brees, I'm certainly looking at.
He probably is. He's got to be number three in a point per completion league.
You would think.
Maybe number two.
Might be number two, yeah. Might be ahead of Rodgers.
He's going to complete more passes than Aaron Rodgers this year.
He should.
So if he's assuming that Luck and Rodgers are off the board, Brees at six maybe makes more sense.
No, no, no. I would do the same. Well, you could say that.
I don't mind taking a quarterback a little earlier than you would in a normal non-PPC league.
PPC.
But I'm still recognizing that it's a PPR league. And I know I can get some good players at other positions.
Yeah,
and it's a 10-team league. So even no matter – it's almost like no matter what you do,
right,
you're going to be able to recover from
Sam Bradford's going to have a lot of completions this year.
Yes. He's just
as long as he's healthy, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. This is from Kelly, and that's all I got. Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's not. Alfonso Vital, Providence, Rhode Island. You know what really grinds my gears?
Hmm.
The way Heath says Jaguars.
How do you say it?
Jaguars.
Yeah, that's incorrect.
Jaguars.
I've heard Jaguars.
Play it back. It's the worst. And that was actually from Kelly. I'm bad at reading emails.
I can tell.
I was so good. Remember when I read that promo yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
was good.
I mean, I don't think you made many mistakes.
But the
you do say Jaguars incorrectly.
Okay.
Yeah,
Jaguars.
Yeah. We've noticed.
Yeah.
Jaguars.
Why don't
Moving
you say
on.
Jacksonville from now on?
Yeah, how about I just say Jackson? How about I just don't talk about them?
Because you need to talk about every team.
No.
It's part of your job.
We got, speaking of that.
Yes.
P.S., less Giants, more any other team, please. That comes from Ron Raven Ravensburg. He's got a nickname from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
What's your nickname?
We're not going to talk about that.
Oh.
Dear Max, Albert, Niels. And Enrico.
Yes.
Two happy things about my auction draft. I chose this guy because he was on subject. He knew we were doing an auction podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I took Dave's advice, made a tier list of my 14 must-have guys, and I got two of them. I took Jamie's advice, targeted Ryan and Devontae Adams, and got them both. Thank you, guys. Didn't take any of his advice, but who would? Two odd twists. On the collective advice of your brain trust... I think now he's taking a shot at me. I nominated high-cost players I didn't want, like Peterson, Dez, etc.
Mm-hmm.
This worked, except everybody else nominated non-elite, low-tier players that I did want.
Yeah, so that's the point.
Those players all – this had the perverse effect of inflating values for mid-tier players.
Just because you didn't nominate them?
No, because they went early.
Because they went early.
Spend money
yeah,
early.
But you've got to expect that people are going to do that. You've got to expect that these players are going to go.
So he ended up with a bunch of guys that he didn't want, like Trey Mason and Rashad Jennings for a dollar, which Trey Mason went for five in our auctions. So
yeah, and Rashad Jennings went for a bunch.
That's great.
Yeah.
You may not want them. Maybe you can trade them for players that you do want
right.
along the way. But, I mean, a good bargain is a good bargain. That's the equivalent to getting Trey Mason in round 13
and
Rashad Jennings in round 14.
He also says he's never been to an auction where elite players went for the prices that we or anyone else recommend. It's usually 20 to 25% more than listed.
Well, it depends on the auction budget. And the more inflated the prices are for guys,
mm-hmm.
the more likely you're going to find incredible values at a buck later on, like Rashad Jennings.
I think the point is here, and I don't know, I could be wrong here, but you guys don't list what you expect people to bid on these people.
No, it's what
you're
we
listing
would
what you would bid.
Right.
So basically, if they're going for that much, you just shouldn't take the elite players. Take the mid-tier players.
Sounds good to me.
There we go.
Have a nice deep roster.
I can't. I don't. Speaking of things I don't say correctly, dear Eris, Vitus, and Gervasi.
Yes.
From Alfonso. I said it was from him earlier. It wasn't. Love the draft pick articles by Jamie and Richard.
That's me.
Good job, guys.
I'm Richard. Thank you.
My standard league is 14 teams. How should one adjust for 14 versus 12 teams? Two wide receivers, one flex.
I think you can't wait forever on a quarterback unless you really like a lot of the guys that are available in that, you know, mid to late round range that we've talked about. Then you still can wait. And I think tight end plays a bigger factor in a 14-team league. I'm in a very well-known 14-team league here in the office, and tight ends get special point privileges in this league, and they tend to go early. And I have the 9th pick, and I think I'll get a good shot at Gronkowski with my first-round pick in that league. And I've won my league with stud tight ends before, but that's a separate type of deal.
Right.
You think he falls to 9?
Yeah.
Really?
For reasons I don't want to say on the air, but yes, he will fall to
I'm going
to
try to move through this quicker because I want to get to as many emails as possible.
Okay, so yeah, tight ends move up. Quarterbacks really depends on you. Of course, running backs are still very important.
I know people are going to say we did a mailbag and didn't get to
it. Is that a sigh?
No.
That started to
be
a sigh.
Okay, fine. My wife is very happy that you guys and the listeners are pointing out that I sigh so much because it's her least favorite thing about me, I found out.
Really?
Every time we have an argument, I don't fight back. I just sigh. And she hates
right, she wants you to say
yes.
What's on your mind.
So
we have a rule in our house that you speak your feelings.
Dear CJ Spiller Azer, Amir Abdullah Eisenberg, Kelvin Benjamin Richard, and DeMarco Murray Cummings. My nickname's going to be Murray now.
Not Buddy.
12-team half-point PPR league. Can keep one for one season. Romo in the 7th, Hyde in the 9th, Stewart in the 10th, Randall in the 15th.
Randall.
Yep.
I'm going
Hyde's Carlos. Just not good enough.
I'm going Carlos Hyde. He is, too.
I like Hyde a lot, but I think Hyde and Randall are real close.
That was from Richard in Dallas. This is from Kenny in Houma, Louisiana.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Did he write an email?
Yes.
Or are you just going to sign?
Crazy point. Another crazy quarterback league. Everybody's come up with these ways to try to make quarterbacks more valuable. We don't need to make quarterbacks more valuable. Make them less valuable. But he's got the 4th pick. Luck and Rodgers are going to be gone. Where should I go? Well, Le'Veon Bell or Adrian Peterson.
It's a point for
Charles.
Every 10 yards passing?
Yes.
Yikes. It's the whole rising tide, yeah. An apple falls far from the tree.
But doesn't though, just to play devil's advocate, if all the quarterbacks are going early,
right?
Aren't the other good players still getting pushed down?
Sure.
You're
going to
have like 6 of them.
Huh?
You're going to have 6 first and second round picks.
6 quarterbacks going.
No. Well, he's saying you're getting all the.
I'm gonna end up. You're gonna end up with all these good players,
right?
If you play it right, you certainly can. But you could also still get great value for guys fall.
Okay. It's easy to recover from
quarterback.
I really
didn't want to read another crazy quarterback email. The only reason I read that one was because it said, "P.S. Adam must do good in the Pick'em League." Let's see. We got a couple more emails.
He
we
did tell me he was
time.
He was going to a strawberry farm to pick strawberries.
This is a good one.
In
can
Delaware?
You? To pick strawberries.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you guys explain a bit more why you're so high on DeAndre Hopkins and so low on Sammy Watkins? Both team situations for these former Clemson teammates are very similar, and yet you have Watkins ranked so much lower. They both have subpar QBs or in run-first offenses and, quite frankly, are similar players. Watkins might even be the superior talent.
That's a good question.
And then a lot of other points. Do we really think Hoyer is that much better than Castle Taylor? This is from Philly, not in Philly.
No, it's a good point. But I'm, as somebody who has Hopkins ranked ahead of Watkins, I think it really is going to come down to targets and opportunity, and I think there will be more of that in Houston, especially when Arian Foster's not on the field, than there will be in Buffalo.
Jamie?
Well, I've seen Bill O'Brien's system. I've seen what it's done for Hopkins in 1 year, his first year in it. Hopkins is a year further advanced in the NFL. That helps when it's guys that are still maturing. Hopkins is not coming off off-season hip surgery,
yep.
And is still battling injury. And Hopkins plays in a much better division that does not feature Brent Grimes and Darrell Revis. So I like the opportunity for Hopkins mm-hmm. and his team and his offense with a similar type of quarterback.
Two more emails, 2 more minutes. I always enjoy the show. Hope you can keep Adam's booger-picking issues relevant topic for years to come. I prefer to use running back my flex position. Thankfully, Eddie Lacy and Jeremy Hill are my starting running backs.
That's nice.
Nice pair. I was also fortunate enough to draft Jamie's two children, Jonathan Stewart and Amir Abdullah. He didn't call them your two children, but they are. Would you guys put Stewart or Abdullah in the flex spot? Jamie.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Which one?
Oh, Stewart first. I think as long as he's healthy, I'll say what I've said before, even with the injury, unless Ryan Khalil's hurt. Stewart plays 16 games. He's going to be a top 10 running back.
If it's PPR, I'm playing Abdullah. You, Dave?
Oh, of course. Okay. And Abdullah's situation is going to be totally dependent on who else is at running back for Detroit.
Well, if Joint Bell's out week one, then you're playing Abdullah.
Carolina's got who in week one? I'm blanking on it.
Carolina has Jacksonville in week one.
Okay. So, yeah, the matchup is definitely going to be more so in Carolina's favor than it's going to be in Detroit's favor. Detroit's at San Diego, so I don't know how good or bad that matchup's going to end up being. But if Joint Bell's out and it's just Theo Riddick, yeah, I'll take my chance with Abdullah.
John in Clinton, New Jersey. Loves the
Clinton
show.
Or Clifton?
It says Clinton. I read it as Clifton almost, mm-hmm. but then I saw the N and it wasn't an F, and so I said Clinton.
Because you're a good reader.
Thank you. In the mid-late rounds of the draft, I love locking up backfields. Who do you see as the top three bargain backfields where you can get both the starter and the handcuff in the later rounds?
Cleveland.
Yeah, Atlanta. Do you want that?
Detroit.
In the later rounds?
I don't know if you can get their running backs in the later rounds.
That's like 5 and 6 you have to spend.
Five, okay.
Couldn't you just get the Jets backfield by drafting Chris Ivory and that's it?
It says in the mid to late rounds.
Oh, mid to late rounds? Yeah, Detroit would make sense. Arizona, potentially, depending on where Ellington
How about the
falls.
Giants?
The Giants should get late.
And Williams.
Yep. Yeah.
Atlanta, like I said, Cleveland, I think you can do.
Would you want the Rams with Gurley and Mason?
I don't think they're going to fall far enough.
It depends on who likes Gurley. It's ugly, but
How about Houston?
At this point,
yes.
in 2 weeks, you can't because the longer that Arian Foster sits out there without any designation, the higher he's going to go.
And finally, dear Rick, Lori, and Shane.
Oh, I know those guys.
Who is it?
They're from The Walking Dead.
Potential keeper dilemma. Do you think it's worth it to draft Jordy Nelson or Kelvin Benjamin in the draft real late and try to stash them the whole year
Absolutely.
For an awesome
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
I said that.
Yes, right. Richard from a Hawaiian city without an I. Come on, Dave.
Honolulu?
Ding.
Ding. We just killed it.
Killed what?
The Adam Azer podcast.
This is the Adam Azer podcast?
Yes.
Cast?
Just for him. For his drive back.
I think we talk about fantasy football more than Adam.
Yes. Thank
but
you.
But I hope you enjoyed it, Adam. Congratulations on winning third place in a cat contest.
Jamie,
Adam won.
Any last words?
Bye.